It is Tuesday, and it's a bit bittersweet this Tuesday because, of course, it is our final Tuesday book club for 2017. Andrew Popel, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. It is a bit bittersweet.
It is a bit bittersweet, but you're taking us out with something a little bit different to what we'd normally do.
This is definitely very different. This is... I don't want to get too academic, but look, for the last few weeks, Nick, we've been talking about Christmas.
We have.
It's Christmas. Next week. The gift giving, the Jolly Red Fat Man, the fact that we're getting a bit of a break, in which I'll still probably be reading and talking about books just to myself. Christmas is cheery and festive. What, you know, on the way here this morning, there's a guy busking on an accordion in this central pedestrian tunnel, singing We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Lovely.
Yeah. It seems like from the high street to Netflix, Christmas is a jolly holiday soundtracked by Mariah Carey and designed to separate you from your cash while making you smile.
Sure.
Yeah. But that got me thinking, was it always destined to be so? Just because we all grew up wanting to move to the North Pole and celebrate Christmas all year long doesn't mean that Christmas is one long sugar-frosted miracle of prosperity. I mean, it feels like we almost start in September now.
We do. Like, it's crazy.
Mm. If you think about it, happiness makes for terrible storytelling. And They Lived Happily Ever After is reserved for the end of classic tales, not just because the writers are getting lazy, but because happiness is the very opposite of narrative tension. So I started thinking about what Christmas really means, and I have brought in for you my architecture of a Christmas story.
Wow. Okay, let's break this down.
All right, so Christmas stories go way back. As I mentioned when we discussed the historical Saint Nick, Christmas and all its traditions have enormous mimetic power and tend to shape and reform around religions and media to recreate their reality. If we go back to pre-Christian pagan celebrations held across the winter period, we find that they were all about celebrating the end of the work on the year's harvest and surviving the longest, coldest Northern Hemisphere day, you know, usually around December 25, the winter solstice. So here we see some of the building blocks in the architecture of a Christmas story. We have darkness and looming despair. We have danger to be overcome, like this idea that, you know, we could potentially starve to death. We have to survive. And the first dawnings of light as the days begin to lengthen. So after the solstice, the days become longer and longer. So let's translate these to a classic Australian Christmas tale. Paul Kelly's How to Make Gravy. We see, you know, an almost perfect fit. Our protagonist, Joe, is in prison and despairing of ever seeing his family. He writes to his brother Dan of the danger. There's sure as hell no one here. I want to fight. But also how the memory of making gravy for the Christmas roast is giving him hope. He says, I'm going to pay them all back. And the possibility of redemption. If I get good behavior, I'll be out of here by July. So we see those kind of pre-Christian pagan elements there. Themes of redemption and new light or rebirth are also, they're never more apparent in both the Christian nativity story, and we see this play out also in another Christmas tale, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Yeah, so Scrooge goes through the despair and the danger to reach a new dawn, but we also see another element in the architecture of a Christmas story, the defeat of an enemy. In the Christian mythos, it's none other than the devil, but rather more interestingly, in Scrooge, the enemy is Scrooge himself, and the defeat is his overcoming of the greed to become more human. And so when we think of all these elements, the despair, the long dark night possibly of the soul, the danger to self and kin, the enemy to be overcome, all leading to a new dawn as we survive through the night. I wonder if you know where I'm going with this, Nick. We can see how many tinsel-infused Christmas tales are left sorely wanting. It also shows us that, without a doubt, Die Hard is a Christmas story.
Oh, come on. You're killing me.
The elements are all there. John McClane crashes his wife's end-of-year party, despairing for their future together. An enemy emerges in the form of Hans Gruber, a distinctly Scrooge-like figure in his avarice and seeming lack of concern, even for his fellow mercenaries. Do we really believe that he thought they were all getting away in one ambulance? He was leaving most of them behind. McClane ends up battling to overcome the winter blues and warms up the entire building. And remembering in the Northern Hemisphere, this is around the solstice. It's the longest night of the year, and you're going to be cold if you have no shoes on.
Okay.
There are even elements of the pagan feasting that happens around this time, as the office seems to be reveling in another successful cocaine harvest. And just finally, there's also the guiding spirit of Christmas in Sergeant Al Powell. So this all leads to Hans going off the building and the office being saved-ish in time for a new dawn, or at least until Die Hard 2. If you needed any further proof that Die Hard, if you needed further proof that Die Hard's a Christmas story this year, it's been turned into a children's book styled after a visit from Santa, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So now you can bring your kids up with this.
You have killed me. You have absolutely killed me on this. I've been resisting admitting that Die Hard is a Christmas story for years now, and I think I might have to concede defeat.
We've been brainwashed into thinking it means presents and Santa and all these things. Really, it's about despair and survival, and this story just has to happen around a certain time of year for it to be a Christmas story.
All right.
It may not need mentioning. Die Hard's part of a great tradition of really unconventional Christmas tales. But within these tales, what I was trying to talk about, though, was this common architecture that I think we can all relate to. Even in Australia, we can fall prey to the end-of-year blues. And we do need something to remind us that there is a horizon to peek over. And I think that's what should be the great part of this year. And that's what we look to these good stories for. So I sort of want to say Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope everyone gets stacks of reading done over the holiday period. I am definitely looking forward to coming back with more books in 2018.
As am I. Andrew Popple, thank you so very much.
My pleasure.
And look, you know, I know Final Draft is wrapped up, but that means There's a whole year worth for people to catch up on, right?
There is stacks to catch up on, 2ser.com.
All right, let's do it. And we will chat in 2018. Have a great break.
I'm going to do so much reading for you, Nick.